money talk all day.
I could do a lot of things if I had some money.
We're the Money Matters Radio Network on MoneyMattersBoston.com. Good afternoon and welcome into the Money Matters Afternoon Edition on your Wednesday. It's 3:03. It is 78 degrees outside. I'm June Knight. My co-host, Brendan King from Estate Preservation Law Offices. This is our live afternoon local show out of Needham. Welcome in, Brendan. I know I haven't seen you in the flesh. Both of us have been, we took a couple of days off.
Well deserved. I like to think it's well deserved.
We're both refreshed.
Can you tell that, folks? Like, you know, don't we just sound revived? Yeah,
we do.
You know, it's funny because I just got back from vacation yesterday, and I had some clients come in who were also friends, and so they know my family, and they're like, "You look tired." I just got back from vacation. Well, that's what happens. You get all these like little kids, and it's just you know, it's just like the beach, day trips, and stuff. I put more miles on my car.
Oh, you did? Yeah. And you said you went to Rhode Island.
Yeah, a couple of times to and from, and then you know we did the drop off. I had my 4-year-old went down one night, and then of course you know she had a virus, so I had to like drive down in the middle of the night, get her, come back. That whole deal.
No.
So it was fine. I mean, it was nice. As my partner and I say, it's nice just to not have to come in. You know, it's
sure.
Still always crazy. It's still, we always have to check in and things are always happening. And I think the world is such where that will always be the case now with technology. People think that you can always like check your email and stuff. But what I will say, it's just nice to not have to do the routine, you know, just get a little break from the routine, getting in, eating the same thing. My cold cereal, my banana, you know, in the
being
car.
Being a good guy. Right. Being that good
right.
guy that's behaving
yeah.
and eating right
yeah,
and going to bed early. You were just done with that for a while.
I was done with that for a while. So that was good just to kind of break out of the norm and you know, do something different.
And maybe, you know, maybe that person that said you look tired, maybe you just relaxed. Although there is a difference between relaxed and tired.
Right. And only a friend would say that you look tired. You look like crap, man. Like, no, it was one of those things where, we had a good laugh about it, but it's the honest truth. And, you know, obviously I'm not going to wish it away because pretty soon it'll be different and I'll wish for it back, you know.
I know. Well, yeah. Well, this is good. You know, this is the exact middle of summer.
Is it really?
This is. Yeah,
yeah,
it's the All-Star break last night for Major
right.
League Baseball,
right.
And it said it's 78 degrees when I last checked, but it feels
in here,
in this room. Yeah, it feels.
Right.
I went on to the web and it said 89 about an hour ago, and then it said 78 15 minutes ago. So I'm not quite sure what's going on.
I can tell you that like if you're in the sun, it feels like the higher number, you know. And of course, I have a black interior in my car, and I'm just saying, I got here a little early because sailed right in. Less traffic these
isn't
weeks.
That great?
Yeah, which is great. And so it was kind of idling there, and I had the thing on full blast, and it was barely maintaining, but it was right in the sun. But, I think you're right. I think it depends where you are. And then, you know, when it goes behind the cloud, I think it's a little bit less in the temperature department.
It is. And there's this ocean breeze that's out there right now.
That's
did
true.
You notice that?
I did.
It smells like the ocean.
It does.
And it came in about, a couple of hours ago.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Yeah. I was actually, you're going to laugh. I got back from vacation yesterday, and I was golfing yesterday afternoon. Business, though. And it was nice breeze on the golf course, and it was very, very nice. Otherwise, it would have just been oppressive, but it was very, very comfortable.
See that? So you can give Brendan King a call at Estate Preservation Law Offices. He'll take you out for a round of golf.
That's right. That's right. That's why I told clients that, I said, listen, I'm back from vacation, but I'm not really back until X because, I had that yesterday. I've got the show today, and then so I'm probably really back tomorrow, full day.
Okay.
Yeah,
so maybe like a free consultation with nine holes of golf all wrapped into one, Brendan?
That's right.
Who knows?
That's right.
You can give that away.
And you can help me find my balls because I'm always in the woods. Yeah.
Hacker.
Yeah. I'm a bit of a hacker.
Me too.
I like to just grip it and rip it, and let it go into the woods for 300.
I've never heard that.
I do. I mean, it's fun. I'm the same way with tennis or anything I do. Just let it fly.
You got to love Brendan King, everybody. He is Estate Preservation Law Offices. And this is what he's like. If you give him a call and get one of these consultations, He's got a great personality. He's always upbeat.
Yeah,
I love coming
to
in
be.
And doing
try
the
to
show.
Be. Yeah.
Yeah,
and it is good to see you too. You look refreshed.
Thank you. Yeah. I am. Yeah,
time off, which is good.
Yep. And I see today we're doing a show on getting your assets in line.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's funny. We always I've been kicking around this title and bringing it in and out of different shows, but one of the things that I think people I always forget, and I heard a commercial on earlier from another attorney talking about ownership, and it's so important because ownership and how you title things really is everything, because you can have the fanciest, most expensive estate plan, and clients think I'm all set, everything's all set, but then they never look at how things are titled. So they'll say, for instance, you know, hey, I've got everything going in my will to my four kids. Then you take a look at their assets, and everything's jointly held with one of them. And, you know, that makes a difference. So what I thought we would do is kind of go through different models or different modes of ownership and then, you know, just talk a little bit. I've got some questions for myself to kind of relay to the folks who are listening. You know, what does this mean? If I own it this way, you know, what does it mean for probate? What does it mean for asset protection from the nursing home, general creditors? You know, if I'm divorced, you know, a lot of people ask questions, well, if I put everything in my wife's name and we get a divorce, you know, what happens there? So, you know, I think this will kind of help just get people to think about not just, oh, I'm all set, I've got my plan all set, but am I all set? Do my assets reflect and are they tied into my estate plan that I have set up? So I think that's really important, and I think it'd be a good show to, I thought it had been a good show, and we've kind of sprinkled it over the past few shows before, but I think it's a good topic just to focus in on.
Brendan, you mentioned putting everything in your wife's name and then getting divorced. What does happen at that point? Now you've got me curious.
Well, what actually, you know, it comes up a lot when we're setting up and we're doing, trying to do some estate tax balancing for trusts and for credit shelter type trusts that we set up, and oftentimes spouse will say, well, if I put it out, and they'll say it right in front of each other, and I always kind of think that's funny, which is actually a good sign, because, you know, obviously it's not, you know, in the realm of possibilities probably, because they're mentioning it in front. It's when they go to the bathroom and they mention, I'm like, why did you mention that? Because I've got to mention it. You know, don't tell me anything you don't want me to tell your spouse, because we represent both parties. But what ends up happening really is that they're still considered marital assets, even if we move things back and forth. The idea here is that, yes, we're a separate property state, but, you know, just because I move some of the stock into her name, we go through a divorce, everything there is really going to be part of the marital estate when we're looking at a division for marital assets. So, you know, it's not lost in, you know, to him. It's still going to be part of the pool. But it does have an effect when we're thinking about credit protection, because if I do move something to my wife's name and then I'm sued, well, just because they're her assets don't make them mine for creditor protection from a general creditor if I hit someone with my car. However, they would be looked at together if I went to the nursing home. So these are the different categories things that when you run down the list, you know, what does this particular type of ownership mean when I'm involved in this situation? And that's really what life is, and that's why we always have to go back to our estate plan, because it's so situational. It really is what's happening to me at this point in my life. What should I be most concerned about? So your plan is, we, you know, call it cradle to grave. It really is. We really need to constantly monitor this thing. It's not, you know, let's bang out a will, staple a blue piece of paper in the back of it, shove it in a safe, and never think about it again. It is a living, breathing thing that we have to kind of attend to now and again.
It sounds like this nursing home thing almost overrides everything.
It's been huge. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, it really has been.
They're like their own government or something, you know, with all kinds of powers, right?
Overriding
everything in sight.
You know, it's funny. There are the rules are set, and there are rules, and I think that's what's so important about it's a game, and there are rules to games, and as long as you know what the rules are, you can play the game of protecting your assets, and you got to play by the rules. And I think that's the point of having an advisor, is to let you know what the rules of the game are, because you're not going to go out there necessarily and just understand all this. Well, I suppose you could, but who would want to do that? I mean, I'm sure you have other things to do. And this stuff always changes, and that's the other thing. You know, it's constantly changing, so we constantly need to, you know, stay up on it. You know, we're on listservs. We're always reading new articles, new cases that are coming down, new decisions, new regs. That stuff changes all the time, and people's interpretation of what is being meant changes. And, you know, when a court interprets something one way, that's going to have an impact as to what we can do from planning side later on.
Okay, the voice of Brendan King of Estate Preservation Law Offices. You can contact him at 508-751 5010. And let's start with, you know, some of these terms and some of these words we've heard, but we don't know what they mean.
It's true. It's absolutely true. And I think the easiest one to start with is, you know, when you hold something by yourself and what we call fee simple or fee simple absolute. And I'll just use, you know, personal property. I mean, your residential primary residence as an example. So, you know, again, with respect to that, it's pretty straightforward. I think there are no mysteries to that because, you know, if I own it, there's, you know, it, and I'm married and I don't have a prenup signed, you know, that's now going to become part of the marital estate. You know, if I'm subsequently divorced, if I own it, if I hit someone with my car, I own it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, of course it's going to be subject to my creditors. If I own it and I go into a nursing home, it's going to be subject to that because I have access to it. General rule of creditor protection is if I can get it, they can get it because the creditor is going to stand in my shoes. So if I can get at it, they can get at it with a judgment. So that's pretty straightforward. Okay. If I own it, it's theirs. The trick and where this stuff kind of, you know, goes off the map is when we start adding people to it. And the first thing that we're going to look at is joint ownership when we get back from the break. We'll talk about joint ownership. We'll talk about tenancy by the tire and different things, methods of ownership when we get back.
Okay, we'll be back in a few minutes.
Money Matters at 9 and Frankie Boyer at 11. We are the Money Matters Radio Network on your radio and online at moneymattersboston.com.
Pawtucket Red Sox baseball, big league fun at family prices. This year's Paw Sox team is made up of players that are young and fast and many with veteran experience. Don't miss your chance to see these guys. Box seat tickets are only $11 and general admission is $7 for adults and $5 for children and seniors. For a schedule or for tickets, call 401-724-7300 or visit pawsox.com. Pawtucket Red Sox baseball at McCoy Stadium. Big league fun at family prices.
Money Matters Weekend, not just for your radio.
Money Matters Radio is making the move.
What do you mean I have a face for radio? I'm going to be on TV.
Money Matters Weekend with Chuck Nilasek, Sundays at 11:30 a.m. beginning May 1st.
You know, that face comment made me nervous.
That's right. Sundays at 11:30 on Fox 25, join Chuck Nilasek and his cast of experts for Money Matters Weekend. Each Sunday, Chuck will cover all areas of your money. That's Money Matters on TV, only here on the Money Matters Radio Network.
It was about 4 years ago when the economy started to derail. We paid for it with a terrible stock market crash that started in late 2007 and did not bottom out until March of 2009. Please consider today's environment when looking at your investment portfolio. We have elections coming up next year. We have a much worse deficit than we had in 2011, and our debt rating is at risk of being reduced by Standard & Poor's. These are all issues that could affect your portfolio. When was the last time you talked to your investment advisor about these issues? This is Chuck Zotta, and we've been advising clients on their portfolio for years. Would you like a second opinion? Have a free portfolio review and consultation. Call 781-433-0001. We have offices all over Metro Boston. 781-433-0001. For a free portfolio review, call 781-433-0001. That's 781-433-0001.
Chuck Zotta is a registered representative offering securities through Securities America Incorporated. Member FINRA SIPC.
Yellow Book presents Quick, Make a Decision Now. We place today's contestant, Bob, a small business owner, in a leaky boat in a tank with toxic chemicals.
Yeah, I'm sinking.
Bob, what's the best way to find customers for your business? A, hand out pens with your name on it, or B, advertise in Yellow Book.
This thing is really sinking.
Then make a decision now.
Yellow Book!
Right. Yellow Book can help your customers find you online, on their mobile, or in the book. When your business needs help, Yellow Book it. To advertise, call 1-800-YB-YELLOW or visit yellowbook.com today.
Money talk all day.
I could do a lot of things if I had some money.
We're the Money Matters Radio Network on moneymattersboston.com.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole! It's in the hole!
Hey, I'm Bob.
Hey, welcome back. I'm thinking that was Caddyshack. Yeah, thanks, yep. Tim. All right.
I love Caddyshack. It's such a great movie.
June Knight, along with Brendan King. Brendan is from Estate Preservation Law Offices out in Worcester. We're talking about getting your assets in line. And Ted Knight, was that the actor in that?
Yes.
You got to love him.
Oh, yeah, the judge.
Yeah.
You know, and then was it the pool or the pond? The pond would be good for you.
Yes.
He's hitting through.
Yes. And that, was
Judge Smales.
Judge Smales.
I love his character because I just love, I love the angry character when he just gets so frustrated. It's just hysterical.
And the pool floater, of course.
Oh, yeah.
That's a
yes.
classic scene.
Yes.
Gotta
was that a Watchmen? No, it's Baby Ruth.
Baby
right?
Ruth yeah. bar, yeah. Gotta love Caddyshack. It's that time of year, you know.
I want that pool scrubbed, drained, and disinfected.
You know every word. This is good, Brendan. I'm impressed. Okay, so that's we're talking today about getting your assets in line, and Brendan, of course, explaining to us what some of these, you know, some of these terms mean.
So yeah, we were talking, you know, just before the break on joint ownership, and you know, the first thing people wonder is, you know, how much of that do I control, you know, on a joint ownership? So if I own an account jointly with, say, my mom, you know, we both have really joint ownership is really 100% ownership of the whole. So there's two names on it, but I can go into that account and take everything out. So, you know, as far as, you know, the question is always, well, who else can deal with that asset? Well, if you put two people on there, either one of them has full ability to go in there and deal with that. And the question often then becomes, well, if they do, what happens, you know, do they, if I, getting back to what I was saying before the break, well, Brendan, you just said, if you can go in there and get the entire thing, that can my creditors do that? And that's oftentimes a scare. Now, in Massachusetts, there's a statute that would say, you know, if there's two people on it, you know, you can really only get half of the account. But I'm always hesitant to rely on that because the theory is still, well, if there's two people on an account, one person can kind of go in and take it. So we are always very careful about joint ownership and how we deal with that at particular assets. So again, you know, as we said before the break, if there's two people on it, it's jointly held, and you really need to make sure it's a, because we're talking about joint ownership. You can have other forms of ownership that are entirely different with more than one owner, and we'll get to what those are. But the other thing that you have to be careful of with joint ownership is death, because, you know, as I mentioned before the break, if, you know, you have mom who says, I want to have my four kids enjoy everything, and I've got my will to say that, and she has, you know, Susan on the account, on every account, when she dies, by law, Susan is the new owner. I mean, that's a presumption. Mm-hmm. And so that creates a problem because Susan might be a great sister, but, it, you know, what's going to happen at that point? Is she actually going to share that with her siblings? And if she does, you know what? I had a granola bar before I came here. I knew that was going to be a mistake.
Oh, we need to get, oh, you have water. Okay,
I've got
yeah.
water,
have,
so.
Have your water. I'm going to get your phone number out there, 508-751. 5010, that's the number.
Thanks,
for
June.
State Preservation Law Offices on Worcester, and Brendan King, who's on this show with us every single Wednesday.
That's right.
Yeah. And he's healthy.
Yeah, because
he's eating granola bars before he's coming in to do the show. So this is a good sign.
It's from yelling at those kids all last week.
Yeah, that too. Okay.
So with joint ownership, you have that automatic passing at debt, and then Susie is not a good sister.
Right.
She may not want to give those assets to the other brothers. And if she does, will that be a gift, a taxable gift? So that just runs into all this complication when you're dealing with that situation.
Well, maybe she's having a, you know how you have a fight or some kind of a problem with one of your siblings, and it's one of those years where something happened over Christmas, and you said something to somebody, and then so forth and so on, and next thing you know, you're not speaking, and somebody's estranged.
That's
who
right.
Who knows what
it,
could happen.
And it really comes down to intention, and finding out what mom's intention was after she died is tough. You know, you're not going to have that really situation where you can go and just ask her now. You know, you have to wonder if documents were put in place, what was, you know, what did she mean? Her will says this. But did she change her mind? Her will was old. You know, her will was 15 years old. Now is she supposed to, you know, be in a situation where that was exactly what she wanted at that point? So joint ownership is really tricky. From an asset protection standpoint, about half the assets would be, but you got to be careful with that because I wouldn't rely on that. From a nursing home standpoint, it also becomes tricky. It depends on who the other owner is. If the other joint owner is your spouse, all of it's going to be counted. If the other joint owner is your child, the famous answer is, classic lawyer answer, is it depends, okay? Mm-hmm. Because if it is a cash type of account in a bank, say a joint bank account, it's going to presume to be mom's if mom's going into the nursing home,
mm-hmm.
okay? However, if I'm a joint owner on a home, on her primary residence, half of that may only be counted towards the nursing home. So it's very asset specific. All the more reason to kind of make sure that your titling is corresponds to what your intentions are. your intentions cannot be, you know, I wanted this to really happen. And with respect to the nursing home, and totally forget about another aspect of it. In other words, we always talk about that Rubik's Cube method of planning. You really need to make sure that the Rubik's Cube, all the sides are done, not just the green side, not just the side about the nursing home. What about creditors? How are you going to feel, you know, if someone walks in and you own this jointly with your daughter, and your daughter then either gets divorced or hits them with her car? Mm-hmm. So, again, you really need to be cognizant of all, you know, what the ownership dictates, because the ownership is going to dictate what happens in the specific circumstance that you are going to get into. Mm-hmm. You don't know what's that it's going to be, but a lot of times that changes as you get older.
Yeah, it does.
You have more risk for general creditors probably when you're younger and you're in business. More on the nursing home side as you get older. So this is something that constantly needs to be revisited and constantly needs to be looked at. And that's why, you know, we spend a fair amount of our time just revisiting with our clients. Both clients I met with this morning, and the one phone conference I had this morning before I came here, were with existing clients coming in to revisit what they've already done. Hey, this is happening to us. This is the stage of life we're in now. What should we be doing? You know, and that we really pound that into our clients' heads. You know, don't just leave it where it is. You've drafted it. We want you to come back. We have mandatory funding meetings. After a client sets up their plan, they come back in, and then we have phase two, which is, okay, now that we have the plan set up, how do we want to hold the assets? How you hold your assets is very important. So we talked about joint ownership. We talked about what happens when someone else is on the title of your deed or on a bank account when there's more than one, i.e. joint ownership. The other form that you oftentimes see is tenants in common. Okay, so if I own my vacation house with my mom as tenants in common, that's a little different than joint ownership. Tenants or a bank account, tenants in common means I only own one half of whatever's in there, okay? I don't own that 100% of the whole like a joint ownership. So it's a little bit different. That's very clear with respect to creditors. If I own 50% of an account and my mother were to hit someone 50% of her account as a tenant in common interest, and my mother hits someone with a car, I could protect my 50% interest in that. Pretty clear. If I die, my 50% interest won't go automatically to her. It will go according to my estate plan, my will, because I am the owner of that 50% interest, and my will dictate where those assets are going to go.
Brendan, let me just jump in too. Who does a tenancy in common? Is that people that maybe lived together, that didn't get married? Is that a family members, siblings? Who usually does something like this?
That's a great question, and really, you know, it's entirely dependent on the situation. All types of people would set this up. A lot of times you'll see it set up with respect to an estate plan where we want to split ownership, say, between husband and wife, where we want to make sure that husband and wife's interest in a particular asset are balanced for estate tax planning. At the beginning of the show, I talked a little bit about credit shelter trusts and getting some sort of balance between husband and wife. If I move assets to my side to his side or her side to his side, what happens with those assets? Well, tenancy in common will make sure that each side has some assets in it when that spouse dies for funding for estate tax purposes, mm-hmm. to get some assets in the estate for sheltering for the surviving spouse. So a lot of times you'll see tenancy in common there. A lot of times you'll see tenancy in common when a father maybe wants to make a gift to his four children, and he gifts the property. And he doesn't want it to be shared if one of them dies to automatically go to the others. He wants them to each have it, and then for it to be then part of each of those children's own estate plans, he will deed it to them as tenants in common so that they each own an a divided interest in it.
Okay.
So that then they need to plan with that with their own estate plan. So it's very important, too, because we'll oftentimes ask for those statements or ask for those deeds when we're sitting down with a client as to how what they've set up or their parents have set up. We'd like to see titling. It's so important. A lot of times when we have our clients fill out our intake sheets, we'll sit there and say, listen, that's great, but we want to see the statements, because a lot of times clients won't pay particular attention to whether something is owned jointly or tenants in common. It's a big difference between the two. If I were to go into a nursing home, same type of thing, the tenancy in common would be the classic lawyer answer, as I said in the joint tenancy, who is the other owner? If the other tenancy in common owner is my spouse, the entire thing is going to be looked at. If it's, you know, if it's with the son and mom is going in, well, the asset depends. If it's if it's a cash account, it's probably going to be presumed to be hers unless you can show otherwise. If it's a home, then half of that might be okay, protected. Very asset specific. That flips then into another form of ownership, which is we call a tenancy by the entirety. Point to know with a tenancy by the entirety, it's like a joint tenancy when you're married. Okay. So the tenancy by the entirety would be very similar to the joint tenancy with the caveat that you do have a little bit more of asset protection with a tenancy by the entirety. In Massachusetts, if spouses own their houses together after 1978, if they own their houses together as tenants by the entirety, the creditors of one can't force the sale to get at the proceeds of the other. So the house cannot be sold, okay, to satisfy a judgment. Beyond that, you have the homestead and everything else for the proceeds, but it's nice to not have the forced sale on the primary residence. So tenancy by the entirety can have a lot of asset protection advantages to it. Some states like Florida have lots of protection through their tenancies by the entirety, but up here in Mass, really the big one is the primary residence that we can take advantage of. Other than that, it's very similar to the joint tenancy that with respect to all the other aspects, you know, marriage, creditors, that sort of thing, but it's specific to a marriage, so it's only between husband and wife. So when you see it, you can think a lot of it like a joint tenancy between spouses. Okay. That's really what that is.
Well said. Brendan King of Estate Preservation Law Offices. You can contact him at 508-751-5010. I forgot to tell you, we've got a four-pack of Paw Sox tickets.
Cool.
I know. I brought
them
in and I forgot.
Yeah.
If you want to win these, hang out with us. We'll be giving away about 10 minutes or so, okay?
Awesome.
At 888-205-2263. This is the Money Matters Radio Network.
This is a Bloomberg Business Week update. I'm Carol Masser. Thanks to demand in Asia and legal victories in the U.S., American Indian tribes in the Pacific Northwest dominate a rich trade in giant clams called gooey ducks. These bivalves are prized for their flavor, texture, and supposed support of male sexual health. Brad Wieners edited the story in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week.
There are leases for these that are very carefully controlled by Washington State, and half of them are, through some arcane regulation, reserved for 15 northwestern Native American tribes. And they get to go out and collect these things. They're very dense and like sort of prairies, and do not pay for the leases, do not pay taxes on them. They get to take home, generally, $8 or $9 on $10 a pound.
Maybe that's why gooey ducks are called Puget Sound Gold. For more on this story, go to businessweek.com. I'm Carol Masser.
Could switching to GEICO really save you 15% or more on car insurance? If a tree falls in the forest and no one is around, does it make a noise? Yep.
Be like the 4 million who switched to GEICO last year, and you too could start saving money. For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision.
Neither the sandstorms of the Mojave Desert, nor the dust and dirt of a Texas rodeo, nor the glare of the bright lights of Broadway can keep you from having the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Crizal. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
When your allergies hit, hit back with new Claritin Liquid Gels, now available at CVS Pharmacy. Claritin Liquid Gels capsules are the first and only non-drowsy allergy medicine with pure liquid power, releasing a wave of relief for your itchy, watery eyes, sneezing, and runny nose. Depend on Claritin Liquid Gels and live Claritin Clear. This week, CVS Pharmacy Extra Care Card members can save on Claritin Liquid Gels. CVS Pharmacy, for all the ways you care. Use as directed.
Money Matters Weekend, not just for your radio.
Money Matters Radio is making the move.
What do you mean I have a face for radio? I'm going to be on TV.
Money Matters Weekend with Chuck Nilasek, Sundays at 11:30 a.m. beginning May 1st.
You know, that face comment made me nervous.
That's right. Sundays at 11:30 on Fox 25, join Chuck Nilasek and his cast of experts for Money Matters Weekend. Each Sunday, Chuck will cover all areas of your money. That's Money Matters on TV. Only here on the Money Matters Radio Network.
Keeping an eye on your wallet is what we do best. Right here on the Money Matters Radio Network. Send the Money Matters team instant feedback at moneymattersboston.com or call in with your questions at 888-205-2263.
Okay, welcome back into the Money Matters Radio Network. Tonight, along with Brendan King from Estate Preservation Law Offices. You requested that one.
I did. It was one of the... I've seen a lot of concerts. That was probably the most high-energy concert I've ever seen.
Really?
At AC/DC. I remember... I think I was 1996 when I saw him on that high-voltage tour they had.
Nice.
And my head was like right by the speaker. I could not hear for like 2 weeks. Actually, I went to see Soundgarden with my wife on Sunday night, and it was good to see them after like 15 years. But I was just—I really felt old for the first time.
Sure.
I'm looking around at all these people, and I'm like, "These guys are old." And I'm like, "Wait a minute,
I'm old too.
I'm old too."
And you still have your hearing from the AC/DC show. You didn't blow out your eardrum.
Yeah, you know what? It was damaged for a while. I remember hearing ringing for a long time.
So bad.
But it was a lot of fun, a lot of high energy. I mean, that's what they're all about. I mean,
absolutely. And you were young at the time.
I was young, younger.
Know.
Yeah, definitely younger.
That's what we're doing today. We're planning for the future because we're not all young anymore.
No, and I think that's important to realize. I mean, it's you gotta kind of go with the seasons of your life. Like I'm thinking of Smashing Pumpkins, but I also know that the Dixie Chicks sang it, and of course Fleetwood Mac sang it. Mm-hmm. What was that? What's the name? It's Landslide.
Yeah, Landslide.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Keeping up with the seasons.
We're getting deep. We're getting deep with Brendan King, and we're talking about getting and keeping your assets in line today. There's a lot to this. So.
There really is, and you know, it's so asset specific, it's so time specific, where you are, health specific. I was meeting with some clients this morning, and I was just telling them, they were asking me about their parents, who are also clients of mine, and. It's really, you know, they're asking, what can we do in this situation? And I said, you know, we have to constantly monitor it, health, you know, in this particular situation has everything to do with what we were thinking about doing because their parents are getting older and dad's really, getting a little weak. And, you know, there are options, but it's really entirely dependent on where we are. Even at that point, that stuff can change daily. I think as you're younger, you don't have to necessarily maybe look at it as much, but as you get older, you really need to because people think, well, I have less going on. Why do I have to look at my plan more? Well, you have obviously a bigger chance of passing away, but you also have kids, grandkids, college funding, and how are you going to hold your assets and access and dementia and all these things that come up? You just have more issues. So it's something that should be certainly visited quite often as you're younger, but much more frequently as you get older.
So, Brendan, let me ask you this, too, because this happened to me over the last month or so. I had a couple of close friends of mine, and they know that I work here.
Sure.
And, I'm not obviously not a financial advisor. I'm not an expert, but I work with a lot of you guys. And a couple of friends were asking me, hey, what should my parents be doing right now? They're in their mid to late 70s.
Yep.
And I said, look, I'm not the person to ask, but, they definitely should have their property, their homes in a trust.
Yeah.
Or they should have their assets in a trust. And, what does that mean? And I said, well, have you asked your parents? Oh, no, we don't bring that up.
So
what should we do as kids whose parents are getting older? How do we bring that up? How do we find out if they're doing the right things, if they're secretive about it?
You know, it's an awesome question, and people do ask me that. And because I have clients who say, my parents, I want to bring them in and talk to them. And it gets really tricky because, quite frankly, I have this situation right now that's the perfect example of what I'm going to say, but quite frankly, parents can pile drive their assets into the ground if they wanted to. I mean, they really have, I mean, your entire, this government that we have and the laws that we have very much respects personal property. And if you want to take it and blow it up, and if you want to take it and, you know, invest it in pork bellies or bury it in the earth, what you want to do with it is your right. We have trust law because we value what someone wants to do with their assets so much that we're going to say, you can control it from beyond the grave.
You know, that's kind of cool.
It really is. And in that same light, you know, with the great respect for it, also comes with the respect of, hey, if they want to do this, then they can do it. So I guess the trick there is, it's much more of a psychological question. You know, how do you get your parents to feel comfortable to talk to you about it? Now, you know, I think it never hurts to bring it up. I think, you know, what is important is that, you know, if it's not brought up, I don't have to be at the meeting, but you really should think about talking to someone. And my advice would be to talk to a specialist, okay? Because what I tend to find, and that goes across the board, a specialist in, you know, whatever kind of accountant they need, or financial planner, or money manager, whatever it is that they need to find a specialist in that, but particularly lawyer, because I'm obviously, being a lawyer, I'm a little bit more hypersensitive to that, is that so many times I hear, you know, clients say, oh, my parents are all set, or they tell me they're all set because the guy who, you know, closed on their real estate or bought their house did their wills. And I just cringe because that's not really doing anything. You know, it really isn't. I mean, you know, it'll do something, but it certainly won't do what they think it's going to do, chances are. And certainly not going to do anything from an asset protection point of view, is what I'm thinking that you're thinking, is that, you know, how do we protect some of these assets? So my advice would be just to kind of bring it up and say, listen, you don't have to involve me, because there's always this weirdness. And I know, because, you know, my parents are knocking down my door, and this is what I do. You know,
really?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh wow.
And you know what? I don't want to either, because I think there's a
You haven't asked. You haven't even asked.
Oh no, I would
see?
Never.
Yeah,
I would
see?
Never. And here's the thing: I have done work for my family, and two generations up, my grandparents and stuff like that, and obviously my dad is a lawyer as well, so he knows what he's doing. So it's not necessarily as big of an issue. I do will answer questions, and he will come to me on some of those issues, but there's a certain amount of respect there, and I also respect his own skill set to do what he needs to do. But what I would say is I do appreciate the issue, because I'm not going, like you had said, and knocking on their door, primarily because, you know, the skill set's there. But also, I also would feel a little bit weird. Even if the skill set wasn't there, I think I would still feel a little bit weird. One, because I do it myself, and I don't want them to think that I'm fishing for the work, certainly. You know, hey, my doors are about to close. Can I do your will so I keep them open another day? But, you know, it's much more a psychological issue, and I think it never hurts to bring it up. Make sure that they, you know, that they've seen a specialist, because they may do the old, oh, I'm all set, I have the will. Who did you see? You know, that should be the next question. And then leave it, because I know there can be some weirdness. And if you ask too much, you're going to get yourself cut out, you know, or, you know, they'll give you that it's none of your business, or, and
as long as the church didn't do their will, something like that.
You know,
a little shaky.
And sometimes we'll have charitable entities who really kind of get butt into plans and stuff like that, which is, you know, I know that everyone's trying to do their thing and get their play into different people's estate plans, and that's fine. But yeah, I mean, I think it's really important that they see a specialist about it. I mean, I certainly wouldn't be doing divorces or anything like that, and I refer that stuff out. And it doesn't hurt to get a second opinion. The only thing that's going to cost them is time. We meet with clients free all the time. There is no cost. The only thing we tell clients is it's going to cost you some time. So come on in. We'll take a look, and we'll find out. We'll let you know when we're going through these assets. Hey, you're holding it like this. Should you be? You know, and it's real important just to kind of get a legal checkup. You know, people go and get, you know, their teeth checked up on. People go and get their health checked up on. You know, getting a legal checkup is not a bad thing. And, you know, we highly advise it.
Okay. Let me get your number, your phone number, your info out there. Brendan King is Estate Preservation Law Offices. He's located out in Worcester, but he's got offices all over the place. His number is 508-751- 5010. What are your other locations?
So we're also in Braintree, in Cambridge, and in Hyannis too. And so we, you know, we travel all the time. And those are certainly our satellites. We can meet people there, but we meet people in their homes all the time. You know, I was out in Franklin on Monday. We're just always in the car, so we're driving around. Again, on my half hiatus back at work week, I've got going on. So,
nice.
Yeah, it's, you know, a little, you know, we're in fact, I was talking to my partner about it earlier today, and you know, we were talking about our cars, and you know, we both, you know, went to a little bit of a nicer car with all the traveling we do, and you know, you have to, because we're just constantly in our car visiting people. Trying to make it work. The nice thing about being located in Worcester, we're very central, so we can almost get in anywhere in an hour.
Right.
So, you know, it's very easy for us to do it. So, you know, that shouldn't be a concern.
Okay. And we're talking about getting your assets in line, a long list of stuff here. I think we got to go to a break, but next is the life estate.
Yeah,
that's where we're at.
That's a very popular one. You probably have even heard it with your friends asking you, you know, hey, about a life estate. What can you tell me about that? We get a lot of those questions. So we'll hit that when we get back from the break.
Okay. Very good. And if you've got questions for Brendan, you can call us in studio live here at 888-205-2263. Okay, it's 888-205-2263. Oh, we've got Paw Sox tickets to give away. Do you want them? I've got a 4-pack. When we come back, that's what we're going to do, Brent.
Nice.
I'm going to let you give them away.
All right.
So stay with us for those free tickets for the Paw Sox when we return on the Money Matters Radio Network.
Debbie Kickham of Maxima Marketing in Westwood, Massachusetts, with your Money Matters Marketing Minute. Marshall McLuhan said it years ago, the medium is the message. And that is no truer than the recent collaboration between Coca-Cola and the World Wildlife Fund. Coca-Cola Philippines and the World Wildlife Fund for Nature Philippines partnered on an eco-friendly plant billboard to represent the two organizations' commitment to making a positive impact on the environment. The 60 by 60 foot billboard is made out of sustainable, recyclable materials and is covered with 3,600 pots of the air pollutant absorbing Bukian tea plant. Each of the pots was made from recycled bottles of Coca-Cola products, and each contains potting mixture made of industrial byproducts and organic fertilizers. Each plant can absorb up to 13 pounds of carbon dioxide. Who can you partner with, and how would you make your statement? This is Debbie Kickham from Money Matters Radio.
All money talk all the time. It's Stu Taylor at 11 and Tiger Financial News Network at 4. We are the Money Matters Radio Network on your radio and online at moneymattersboston.com.
Total customer care. That's what makes Midas different. It's how we get to know you and your car, explain things in a way you'll understand, and give you service and repair options that respect your budget. From routine maintenance like oil changes, tires, and brakes, to advanced engine diagnostics and major system repair, come to Midas and see the difference total customer care can make. People and prices you can trust. That's the Midas touch.
This heavyweight bout is about to begin. The challenger wears white trunks with a blue stripe, and the champ is wearing, looks like an examination gown from the doctor's office. And from the back, we can... Ooh, that's not pretty. Champ, what's with the crazy getup?
I've got to take care of my family.
Yeah, so?
Well, when you love your family, you got to go in and get those important medical screens. A lot of potentially deadly diseases can be treated if you catch them in time.
So you wear the examination gown because...
Because I'm a real man. Real men take care of their families and get those tests. Real men wear gowns.
Okay, champ, good luck. Here we go. The champ's not wasting any time. It's over. This fight is over. Champ, you barely broke a sweat. Any words for your fans out there?
Remember, go to ahrq.gov for a list of the tests they need to get and when to get them.
What was that web address again?
ahrq.gov. And remember, real men wear gowns.
Go to ahrq.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AHRQ, and the Ad Council.
Spread the word. Now you can build your better breakfast at Subway.
Breakfast, breakfast, yay, breakfast!
And it's made just how you like it.
Black egg whites.
On an English muffin.
Black forest ham. Nothing better.
And American cheese.
Jalapenos and tomatoes.
Subway now has breakfast, like the Western Egg White Muffin Melt. Fresh toasted and made just the way you want. Only at Subway.
Subway! Products may vary, may be available from opening to 11 a.m. at participating restaurants.
Keeping an eye on your wallet is what we do best, right here on the Money Matters Radio Network. Send the Money Matters team instant feedback at moneymattersboston.com or call in with your questions at 888-205-2263.
Okay, we're back into the Money Matters Radio Network, WBNW 1120 AM in Needham, Boston, and WPLM out of Plymouth, 1390 AM, WESO 970 AM out of Southbridge. Okay, June night here with Brendan King. Brendan is with Estate Preservation Law Offices. We've got Paw Socks. Paw Socks tickets to give away.
The cool thing about Paw Socks tickets, there's many dates. It's not like, you get tickets and you can't go, and then you got to give them to your body.
You kind of pick your own date?
Yeah, there's a few different dates here I'm seeing that these are good for.
Okay.
So that's always good, you know?
August 1st, 17th, 18th, and September 5th.
Yeah.
All right. Pick what number are we taking today?
What number should we take? I like lucky 7.
7's great. Yeah. Keep it in the top 10.
That's right.
All right. So 888-205-2263. If you'd like to go see the Paw Sox, this is a 4-pack. 888-205-2263. We'll take caller lucky 7.
Number 7 gets 4.
Yeah. So give us a call in studio. We'll take your information. Okay. Where do we leave off? We got 10 minutes.
Life estate. And, we get a lot of those questions and people say, what does a life estate mean? You know, what are the repercussions of it? And, and typically it comes up with, the nursing home, because I think in the past, using the life estate, it's still a technique. I don't think it's the best one out there, but people will keep a life estate and deed the future interest to their kids to try to protect their home. And, looking at it from that perspective, what happens? So if you went into the nursing home, assuming we're by any kind of look back period, the future interest will be protected. You go into the nursing home, they lien what you have as life estate. You die, the lien goes away, and the kids have the house. Well, that worked in that situation, but like I said before, everything is very situational, and if you have that situation occur, then so be it, that's okay. But there are some other things that may happen. Now, if you put the future interest in your kids' names, what happens? Who controls the property? Well, you can't sell it unless they want to sell it with you.
Mm.
Okay, so if you do want to sell the house later on, that becomes tough. If you do sell it, the proceeds get split, and so some of the proceeds of the home will come to you that will then become unprotected, and then some of the proceeds will go to the kids. The kids will have to pay, chances are, some capital gains on a portion of the gain that will be attributed to the property. The person who lived there, who was the life tenant, can exclude that portion of the gain, likely through their Section 121 capital gains exclusion. The issue really comes is that when someone owns something already, in other words, the kid's owning this future interest, I've seen it, and it's actually happened where one of the children who was a future interest holder had a lien put up against the future interest, a claim put up against because they got into trouble, financial trouble, and they were being sued. And so that is a property right. So again, it gets very tricky. You're not protecting. You may have protected it in that situation with respect to the nursing home, but you opened it up to, their creditors. And I think that's what we were talking about, June, at the break, you start adding people to deeds and that sort of thing. This is what can happen. Now, that is specific to, and typically you'll see this with respect to property. And
so your kids are almost like all liabilities in a
right.
way.
They are. They really are. And it's no offense to them because liabilities can, occur voluntarily, and that's where offense is given. But they're also involuntarily. Spouses can walk away from other spouses. You could hit someone with a car. So
life happens.
Life happens, exactly. So life estates can get kind of tricky. Now, the life tenant is the one who stays in and who has, retained this life estate, and they're responsible for the upkeep on the property and the payments and that sort of thing. So there is a time and a place for it. It can work. There are other things that work better, in my opinion, to accomplish the goal that most people are trying to accomplish when they set up the life estate, which is nursing home planning. We're very much in favor of trusts. and using trusts. You can also use a trust for the future interest as well, but you could also put the entire property in there too. And we've done shows in the past that talk about that a little bit. As far as, you know, what's protected from a divorce, if I have a life, if I'm the life tenant, I've given away the future interest, you know, that is still subject to possible being a marital asset. I mean, it gets trickier, but, you know, these things still come up. The trust is really the way to go. When you're a trustee on a trust and you put your property in there, you control it, okay, as opposed to being the life tenant. If I'm the trustee of a trust and I put the entire property in the trust, I can control. If I want to sell it, I can sell it. Again, with the life estate, can't do that. I have to get my kids on the sale as well. So the life estate situation and scenario gets it a little bit tricky. Mm-hmm. Trust will also help me protect it from my bad marriage. If I put something into an irrevocable trust prior to marriage, it will prevent it from being a marital asset, a certain type of irrevocable trust. If it's a revocable trust, then I can get it back. Then it will be certainly swept into the marriage mm-hmm. once I get married. So sometimes we'll use irrevocable trusts to prevent things from falling into a marital estate at that point in time. So protects it there. Irrevocable trusts can also protect property from creditors, general creditors. So the same type of trust that we use in nursing home planning, we'll also often use it to protect our clients who are in business and they want to protect their business assets or they want to protect their personal assets from their business ventures. We'll oftentimes use irrevocable type trusts to protect those assets from general creditors as well. It will also avoid probate. And it will also allow us to continue to protect the assets for future generations, whereas a life estate won't do any of those things. Talking about probate, one thing that we'll oftentimes say is, you know, Brendan, why should I have a trust? You know, all I really want to do is avoid probate. Can't I just set up what's called a Totten Trust or in trust for or a pay on death or a transfer on death account? Mm-hmm. So some banks will do this where, or security houses or, you know, places where have investments, you can set up a situation where I have a money market at my death. There's a POD, pay on death to my two kids. That will avoid probate, okay? They're also called Totten Trusts, really, for the person who, you know, originally set them up or proved that they were a legal type of ownership structure. So you could have Rich in trust for Mary or, you know, Rich, you know, holding this, has full access to it, and when he dies, it goes to Mary. Same thing. They all accomplish the same thing. They will avoid probate. What will happen, though, is that they won't be protected from the nursing home. You have full access to these things while you're alive, so it's yours. They won't be protected from bad marriages. You know, they are part of an asset. A spouse can elect against it. I had that case happen once where a spouse was married. They had all these Totten Trusts set up to go to a niece, and that spouse could elect against that to as an election against the will for being left out of the will. Hmm. So because you have full access to these things, they are something that can be taken by creditors, spouses, that sort of thing. Not to put those things in the same category, right. Of course. but also the nursing home, as we had mentioned. So they're called Totten Trusts or pay-on-death accounts, and they are primarily used for avoiding probate. Again, I think trusts work better on that point, mainly because on a Totten Trust or a pay-on-death type of account, typically you'll have two beneficiaries. Oh, pay on death to my two kids. What if one of them passed away and you didn't change this? Well, a trust is going to contemplate all those little things that might happen mm-hmm. and work those out. So if you don't go back and change the beneficiary designation or the POD form, then who knows what's going to happen? We just don't know. And so really what may end up happening is going to go to the survivor. If one of them dies and it goes all to the daughter, well, maybe that's not what you wanted. Or it's going to go to the minor beneficiary of the predeceased child, which is not what you want either. Trust is going to contemplate all those things. If you still like the TOD or the POD, use a trust and have it TOD or POD to a trust. We did that with a client just yesterday. They had POD, TOD, Totten-type trust set up, and what we decided to do is their revocable trust is going to TOD to there. So it's going to still use the TOD, but then it's going to go to a trust that's going to contemplate everything that's going to happen or possibly could happen prior to the death of my client. So you just can't predict what's going to happen, and people are bad about going back and changing these designations later after something has happened. So I know we got a couple of minutes here. And,
a couple minutes left.
And so some other things that, you know, may come up is type of structures you might see is, you know, 529 accounts, a UTMA accounts. Just be aware that, you know, this ownership type structure we're talking about with a 529 account, you are the owner.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, if you have a 529 account for your grandchildren, that is a countable asset for the nursing home. So be aware of that. It's out of your taxable
estate.
Didn't
know that, yeah.
But you got to put a wrapper around it because you can go and get those assets back. As opposed to a UTMA account where there's a custodial arrangement there, those assets are really out of not only from your taxable estate, unless you are the custodian and the donor, not to get too caught in the weeds on that, but once it's out and it cannot come back for the nursing home. It's also going to be creditor protected too, whereas the 529s won't be either.
Oh.
Now in bankruptcy, they have some protection, but not so much just in the general creditor world.
Oh.
With that, you know, I think that, you know, we can get into some other things like conservatorships and all that sort of stuff, but we'll probably save that for, you know, shows in the future. And,
yeah.
I don't know if we, you know, have anyone out there that, is looking for those tickets, but, caller number 7.
Yeah, 7-888-205-2263. And Brendan, one last time, Brendan King, Estate Preservation Law Offices. Check out the website and his phone number, 508-751-5010. Okay, once again, he does those free consultations. You can get him on the golf course this time of year.
Yeah, that's right.
508-751-5010. Based out of Worcester, but where are the satellite offices again?
So satellite offices in Cambridge and Braintree and Hyannis. And, you know, always ready, willing, and able to do those Hyannis appointments in the summer. So, you know, if you're down there, feel free to give us a call. And, and we do travel and happy to do it. We also make home visits, too, just like doctors used to.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't happen much anymore, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, unless you don't want it, we don't have to do it that way. But it's a nice option to have, and particularly for our older clients, works out well.
All right. Great to see you, Brendan King.
Yeah,
good
to see you, too, Jim.
And we'll see you back here next Wednesday.
Absolutely.
All right. Closing things out, I'll see you tomorrow morning on the morning show at Money Matters at 9 a.m. June night. Have a great day, everybody. This is the Money Matters Radio Network.